Preacher David. Singer and preacher. And father.
Testing, there we go. Hallelujah. Well, I got a testimony about rain. My father-in-law came a couple months ago, and he said, we weren't able to go out of town, so he said, well, we got to do something. He goes, let's tear down your shed and build a shop. I said, okay, that sounds awesome. So we got a lot of it done, but the roof is just sitting there, and the plywood was getting wet and baked in the sun, and I went up the other day because I bought the roofing materials. I thought, all right, I'm going to finally put the roof on. And I went up there, and all the plywood on the ends was starting to curl up. I thought, oh, man, that's going to be really hard to roof that with it curling up. So I called my friend Chad. I said, hey, how can we fix this? And we came up with a plan to fix it. So I got up early yesterday morning. I went to Home Depot, and I bought stuff to fix it. And on my way home, it started raining. I thought, Lord, I'm going to work on my roof today. It can't rain. It rained for about 5 minutes, and I got home, unloaded my truck, climbed up on the roof. All the plywood was flat. I was like, God, you're so silly. I spent all that time trying to devise a plan to fix it, and he just fixed it in 5 minutes with some rain. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, and thank you that it's not 114. Thank you for your word that goes into our heart, and that when we need it, it just comes out, and we don't even know where it comes from, but you said hide it in your heart, and when we need it, it'll be there. So thank you, Father, for your word today. Speak through me, and let these people be blessed. In Jesus' name. I'm gonna read out of Hebrews today. Hebrews 11. But it's interesting. Lately, I've been thinking about sin and what is sin and what does God think about sin and things like that. And Hebrews 11 is not anything about sin in particular. It's about faith. But for some reason, I just felt like I should be in Hebrews 11. But I wanted to start off with saying Jesus said there are three types of people. There are those who sin and they like it. There are those who sin and they know they're forgiven. And there's those who sin and they pretend that didn't sin. So Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm because I'll spit you out of my mouth. And it's true. I don't know if you guys, I work outside a lot. And when my water bottle of water gets lukewarm, I won't drink it. It's disgusting. So I totally get that analogy from Jesus. That made complete sense. Hebrews chapter 1. Or chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is believing in something even though you haven't seen it. We'll read later on in the chapter, Abraham only saw his son, but he didn't see the promise of God. God said, hey, I'm going to make you a nation. But he never saw it. He died before that ever happened. But he believed it. He believed it 100% that was going to happen. So, but I want to read, if you guys have a dictionary, the best dictionaries are the Webster's 1828. These new ones, they kind of change the definition and the meanings of things, and they just don't have that. I think Webster originally, I think he was gifted by God to write what he did, because when you read it, you're just like, wow, that is so scripturally based. But two words, faith and hope, because those are both in that first verse. Faith is belief, the assent of the mind to the truth of what was declared by another, resting on his authority and veracity without any evidence. So, no evidence, but we believe him anyways. God said it, I believe it, even though I don't have any evidence that it's true. And you have to do that a lot with God, because there's no evidence. And it's in this day and age where everything is so now, instant. And God is like, just relax. I'm taking care of it. And you go, yeah, God, but I prayed, and so it should happen. God said, no, I gave you a promise. Don't worry about it. So, and the second one is hope, and I love this definition. It's kind of long, but it says a lot. So hope is a desire of some good accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it. or belief that it is obtainable. Hope differs from a wish or a desire in this, that it implies some expectation of obtaining the good desired, or a possibility of possessing it. Hope, therefore, always gives pleasure or joy, whereas a wish or desire produces pain and anxiety, because you don't, you know. So I thought, wow, how did he come up with that? So that had to be God. You know, when people come up with amazing things, you go, that was God. There's no way that guy figured that out on his own. So, verse 2 says, for by faith, the elders obtained a good report. So who are the elders? It starts off with Abel, and then Enoch, and Noah, Abraham, and Sarah. So those are our elders. And they all trusted God. And it's funny because, okay, so Abel and Cain both brought a present before God, and God accepted Abel's and not Cain's. They were probably both great. They were probably both excellent. You know, because, I mean, Cain, he was a proud man. I'm sure he brought the best that he could bring, but it wasn't about what he brought. It was how he brought it. Let's see. Abel understood what God was after. He knew that God was about a relationship and not performance. And God considered Abel righteous. He hadn't even sent Jesus yet. So how can we be righteous if Jesus hadn't come to be our righteousness? So God is awesome like that. He has a set of rules that he made, but he has little loopholes like lawyers. He can figure out how to get around that rule. I already consider you righteous, even though my son hasn't come and died to be your righteousness. So, it's fun because it's like, when you bring a gift before God, it's like a little child who brings goes back to Sunday school and they make a craft and they bring it out and it's a little piece of construction paper and it's got crayon scribbled all over it, macaroni glued to it, and they wrote their name, and the first letter is huge, and the second one, and it goes off the page, and it says something, you know, like, I love you, Mommy, or whatever, and it's terrible. I mean, it's terrible, but we, you know, as a parent, you love it, and it's amazing, and it goes on the fridge, and the kid is excited that, you know, they did that for you, but that was because it came from their heart. You know, when a child starts to please their parent, then they've lost everything. It's not then it's no then it's a work, and it's not just I love you and you love me, and so I'm giving you this because I love you, not because I want you to love me. You know, the father already loved Cain. Cain didn't have to bring the best gift so that God would love him more than Abel. God already loved Cain 100%. So it was like you're missing the point of this. So Abel had faith that it was about relationship, and he didn't have to strive to please God, that God was already pleased in him. So through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed, and that by the word of God. It's interesting that I love music, and I love sound, and the whole world is made up of waves, and when God spoke, it happened, and it's like, and you can see that in everything. And when people dig deep into things, there's just waves in everything, you know, electrical, sound, you know, light. It's all just made out of waves, and God just spoke it. So the interesting thing about it, when I'm probably going to get ahead of, I had this later on in the sermon, but I'm going to get to it now. When sometimes I go to God and I'm trying to find an answer and I don't, and then things just seem to fall apart, and I'm like, well, is there really a God? And this verse is awesome because it's, you know, it talks about the earth was formed by his voice, and you walk outside and you just start seeing things, and you're like, there's no way that this world just happened. I mean, just you cut a tree down and there's tree rings, and, you know, you can see each year's growth, and, you know, you start studying the human body, and it's like, it didn't happen. How did you end up with a man and a woman, and a man and a woman were able to make more people? that doesn't evolve. That just doesn't happen. You know, I mean, because there would be a man, and then that would be the end, and everybody, and then there would be no mankind, because that was it, you know, because that was all that evolved, you know. So it's, and so you can go, man, I have faith because God has given me this world to see around me. God is real. I know God is real, and I know He loves me, and I know His word is 100% true. You got to either believe all the word or none of the word. So if you say, I believe this word, you have to believe everything in here. So, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which was obtained that he was righteous, and God testified of his gifts, and even being dead, yet he speaketh. Remember, God said, Cain, where's your brother? I hear him. Here's blood speaking from the ground. So even when he was dead, and it made me think that we don't understand what death is, because if his blood was still speaking, then we don't understand what death is. Death is nothing. It's just our flesh dies and we go to be with God, and then we're really truly alive. We're not just sitting here on this earth waiting to go home, you know, because this isn't our home. It's like a trip, you know. This is a vacation, and we're on vacation, and then we get to the end of vacation, we get to be home. So bad things happen on vacation. Good things happen on vacation. And by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So again, this guy was before Jesus. Hadn't seen Jesus, but he knew God. You know, he spent time with God. He understood God's heart, and so he pleased him. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's just, God is just saying, hey, just trust me, just believe in me, just don't try to do it in your own strength, because you're going to mess up. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that God is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's interesting, as you go through your day, you know, things go wrong, and I like to rebuke them, because when things go wrong, I just say, you know, or you get dumb thoughts in your head, and you just go, that's not true. But the more time you spend seeking God, the less the devil comes against you, because he knows it's a losing battle. If you allow him to come against you all the time, he's just going to keep doing it. He's going to torment you and he's going to pester you. But the more you just say, you're a liar, you're an idiot, you know, God, here's God's word, I'm standing on it, he gives up and he goes and finds some easier prey, because you're not falling for it anymore. Yeah, you know, was it, fool me once, you know, shame on me, fool me twice, no. Shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. So, you know, I mean, it's like the devil's not very original. He uses the same tricks over and over again. Actually, the dumb thing is a lot of times we fall for it over and over again. But he's not original. So once you get his game, you can take him down. So by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark, and saved his household, by which he condemned the world, but he was the heir of righteousness, which was by faith. I mean, we all know the story of Noah and the ark, and that's crazy. I mean, you just start building this huge thing that nobody had ever seen rain before, and he did it anyways. God said, hey, I need you to build this boat. And Noah's like, what? Well, what's a boat? And, you know, God's like, here are the plans. And he was like, okay. He goes, why? What for? You know. And people, I mean, and this didn't just happen. I mean, you think, okay, God said build a boat, and he built a boat. This happened over a long period of time, and people came by every day and like, look at that guy who's building that, whatever he's building. He's an idiot, you know, and he got ridiculed all the time for 100 years, you know. I mean, that's a long time to put up with. And you go, God, are you really going to come through? It's, you know, and God was like, hey, as soon as you finish, I'll take care of all these guys. Don't worry about it. So everybody on earth was gone then, but his family, which is our family, we come from one of those three guys. So that's awesome. So he had faith. He trusted God. God, all right. I'll trust you. And then by faith, Abraham, when he was called out into a place which he should have, which should, after receiving for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. That's always a hard one for me. I like living in my house and going to work and coming home every day. If God just said, hey, just get rid of everything and move here, I'd be like, I really gonna have to test that one, God, to make sure that's you. But Abraham, God talked to Abraham, and Abraham didn't even believe in God. He had another God. He had worshipped the sun god, and this other god just showed him and said, hey, I'm God. And he was like, okay, you're God. So, and he just dropped it, and God said, I need you to pick up and move. He's like, okay. I mean, that's stupid faith. I mean, you just don't do that, you know, because you have your life, and we get comfortable in our life, but when God speaks, it's easier just to say, yeah, I'll do it, because he's already got it all planned out. The other night I was saying, it's when God plans something out, he told the disciples, all right, I need you to go out to all of Israel, and I want you to talk to all the Jews, but don't take two coats, don't take any money and everything, because he already went out and he prepared that. So he knew that when you guys go out, somebody's going to feed you, somebody will give you a place to sleep, somebody will give you clothes if you need it. He had already prepared all that before us. You know, as a good businessman, you when you have one of your guys go out and do something, you already prepare. You've already bought all the supplies. You've already talked to the homeowner, and you go out and you prepare everything, and then you go, all right, this is all ready for you. Go ahead and go out and do it. That's God. He already sets up everything for us. It's already all prepared. We don't have to worry about it. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. And as it was a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and with Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. So again, Abraham had a promise, and it went on to his sons. But again, they didn't. Not until Joseph did they see the promise of this great nation. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, none of them had this great nation. They didn't see it, but Dad said, God said, so they all believed. Here's the promise. We're going to be a great nation. We're going to be a nation of God. We're going to be the people that follow God. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder builder and maker is God. That's going to be awesome when that happens. But that's when Jesus comes back, and he sets up his kingdom, and then builder and maker will be God, and we'll rule and reign with him, and everything's going to be wonderful. There's some strange people out there that think that the millennium has already happened, and I go, where was the Antichrist, and when did Jesus come back? I don't know. I totally missed that. I think if Jesus had come back, we probably would have seen it. So, he was pretty sneaky. He came back and didn't even tell us where his people. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. No matter how crazy it is, when God gives you a word, he's going to do it. And it rarely is ever in our time, you know, in the time frame we want it to be done in. It's always when he gets the glory, not man, you know. But the thing is when he gives you a word, then you can just relax in it and you don't have to worry about it. And he's already, when it's ready to happen, and it's like everything will just start falling into place. And you just go out and you do it. Therefore, sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, and as the sands which are by the sea and the shore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed, and were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. So all these people believed, even though none of them really got to see what the promise was, but God said, hey, I'm going to do this through you and your family. And they believed. So, for they, that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out of, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. So, God created us, and Adam and Eve started in the garden, and it was perfect. Why God put that tree in the middle, I don't know, but he did. But it was perfect. And then everything fell apart because we sinned. Again, I'm going to come back to what is sin? Sin, I was talking with Mary last night, and we were talking about, you know, you have to know something is a sin to know that God can work on it. If you think something is just something of a problem, that's just a problem, you know, like fear. It's a sin. Why? Because God's in charge. What are you to be afraid of? God told you, fear not. Don't fear. Fear keeps you from being, when you have other gods in your mind, fear, worry, temptation, lust, whatever, you can't be whole with God. You are, because part of you is still holding on to junk in this world. And again, this world is just, we're just passing through. And God wants you to be holy with him. And so to understand what, you have to ask God, you know, what's a sin? You know, and he'll show you. He shows you. It's funny because it probably usually right before he's about to show it to you, it becomes more and more prevalent in your life. And you're like, something wrong there. I don't know why this keeps coming up. You know, why do I keep, it's funny because I don't get frustrated, but more and more lately I've been getting frustrated and angry. And I thought, I don't get angry. That's just silly. God already worked on that years ago. And so I've been having to pray about that. And God's showing, said, you know, you're not perfect yet. I'm like, that's true. I'm not perfect yet. Mary will tell you that. I'm not perfect yet. Sin, I think the thing about sin is it's not really all that important. You just have to see that it's there and know that God's going to take care of it. But you have to know what it is. You have to go, oh, that's a sin. And then go, sorry, God. And then God will take care of it. Because if you call it something else, then you're just covering it up. I don't know, I was talking with somebody yesterday, and they were talking about mowing the lawn. They were like, if you just keep mowing down your sins, they're just going to keep coming back. You got to go out there and pull them out. So you have to say, oh, that's a sin, and that's a sin, and that's a sin. And then God will go and he'll pull them out, and they're out of your life. And I thought that was a great analogy. I love practical analogies because it helps my mind understand, you know, big things with simple analogies. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, that he had received as a promise, and offered up his only begotten son. That would be a scary thing to do. Because you had waited all your life for this child, and now you have this child, and God's saying, "All right, I need you to give it up." Because God wants to know, are you for real? I mean, God already had a plan. Like I said, God had already set it up ahead of time. He already knew that he had a ram set up in the bushes and that nothing was going to happen to Isaac. But God said, you know, am I your God, or is your son your God? And so Abraham proved that God was his God, and that would be really hard to do. So, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So, he had faith. What did he have faith? He said, well, if I go and I sacrifice my son, God will raise him up from the dead. That's the way we should think about God. Whatever the situation, if I don't have whatever it is I need, God will provide it. If I can't make it myself, God will provide it. If God tells me to do something, he's already prepared the way for me, and everything is already ready. I just need to do it, and it'll be done. According that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, and whence also he received him in a figure. So he believed that God would raise him up if he ended up killing him. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both of his sons, both the sons of Joseph, and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. It's always funny how God does stuff, because Esau was the firstborn, and he was supposed to be the guy that took over the household, but God had already given Jacob the promise that he would be the, you know, his mother said, you know, this guy's going to take over. So God changed things up again. Like I said, God lays down some rules, and sometimes he has a little loophole, hairy arms and all that good stuff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and when they were not afraid of the king's commandment. So, I mean, we know that the king commanded him to bring out all the kids, and they didn't do it. And God probably put that in them. Hey, hide this child. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That would be a hard one, too. I mean, if you grew up wealthy all your life and you said, I'm going to throw it away for all these slaves, you know, I mean, that would be hard. You go, I'm going to be called one of them, and I'm not going to be Pharaoh's. So what I love about the Bible is it has stories in it that really happen that react to our life, and that you can see God working in all that. And we get to see the instantaneous from here to here, and we didn't have to go through all that. But then we have to realize that it was periods of time, and that we just need to be patient with God. And he wants us to relax and enjoy life and to just be in him and have faith in him and just not worry about where things are coming from. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So, I mean, that's a good one too right there, because things will seem right, but then God said, hey, you know, I know, I can see the future, and I know what's going to bless you more, this thing or, you know, what I've got over here. And he knows that this is going to bless him more. So Moses got to spend 40 years in the wilderness. I mean, that was a huge blessing. I mean, I can't even imagine. And it was only just a couple of miles. I mean, I don't know how God did that. That was crazy how they could have wandered around and not found it. It was just from here to there. You know? But it was a blessing. And Moses did get to see the promised land. You know, God said, I'm going to take you to a promise. He didn't get to go in, but he did later, because I don't know how. I mean, I don't know why God chose Moses. It's probably because of the law and the gospel. But, you know, Elijah and Moses came back when Jesus was here. You know, Jesus was hanging out on the earth, and the disciples were there, and he brought Moses and Elijah. And then Moses got to see the promised land, which is awesome, you know, because he had screwed up, which God is terrible for that. I mean, just hit the rock twice, and then that was it. I mean, God is funny like that. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasure in Egypt, for he had respect of the recompense of the reward. So, I mean, if you think about it rationally, you go, okay, I can have what's here on earth and enjoy it, or I could have what God has to offer me. And it's God. I mean, we're talking about God. He has everything. And Esau, going back to Esau, he just wanted his bowl of soup instead of having the reward, you know. Hey, you can have everything, or you can have a bowl of soup now. I'm hungry. I just want a bowl of soup now. Here, you can have my entire inheritance. I would probably do something stupid like that. Golly, that is ridiculous. I mean, thank God I have a Bible, and I know these silly stories, and they come to our mind when you go to make a dumb decision like that. Oh, yeah, Esau made that dumb decision. I probably shouldn't throw my whole life away for, you know, some silly half an hour movie or whatever, I could destroy my life, or I'm probably not watching a movie, but just some dumb decision. Hey, that sounds fun to go, whatever, by faith, he forsook, Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. So, Pharaoh was God at that time. He owned everything he could see, and they ran everything. He was the big dog. But Moses said, God is bigger than Pharaoh. So I don't, and I'm starting to, God is bringing that more and more to my mind, not to worry about people who are in power or just, whatever. If God wants me to do something, he will open whatever door needs to be opened, even when somebody says, you're not going to do that. If God said, do it, that door will open, and that guy will say, how did you do that? And you go, well, my God is bigger than your non-God, So, through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyeth the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, were drowned. Can you imagine? You walk up to the Red Sea, and Moses puts a staff in it, and the sea, I don't know if you guys have ever been to the ocean or a big lake or whatever, it just opened up. And it wasn't like it disappeared. It was like it was on either side of them. And they trusted God enough to walk, I don't know how many miles, with the water on either side of them and get to the other side. That took a huge amount of faith. I mean, I guess my one fear in life would be drowning. I hate the ocean because you're just out there, and there's nothing out there, and just water, and you drowned. I mean, I would drown. I wouldn't last very long. I remember when I was a kid, I took swimming lessons, and they always taught us to tread water, and I was terrible at it. I would last probably about 15 minutes, and then I'd be like, well, God, I'm coming to see you. So, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about for 7 days. Can you imagine walking around a city for 7 days? And you're like, not saying anything, and you're like, what are we doing, God? God said, walk around it, and I'll give you the enemy. And you're like, this is dumb. the guy that had to wash in the river 7 times, you go down once and you come up and you're not clean. It's like, do it again. And you're like, am I hearing you, or am I just being an idiot? That was probably the Israelites when they were walking around the city, and the people, I'm sure, were making fun of them, whatever. But they had faith, even though they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. But they just said, all right, God, we'll trust you. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. She lived in the city, and she was one of the citizens, and it would be hard. I'm sure she had her hand in lots of different things, and she knew lots of people. If the enemy came in and they said, hide us, you'd think, no, I could turn you in, and I could get whatever reward I wanted. But she didn't. She had faith. They said, and she had faith that they said, hey, we're going to come take the city tomorrow. And she knew that these people had been coming around, they'd been taking cities down left and right. She said, well, I want my family spared. And they said, we'll give you our word. And she had faith that they would keep their word. I mean, she didn't have any reason to believe them that they would keep their word. I mean, she was a woman of ill repute. Why would anybody give their word? But she believed them. And not only that, she's in the lineage of Jesus. If you go in Matthew, I always think that's, God is awesome. He just says, I don't care who you are. I love everyone, from the highest to the lowest. I think that, and God just shows it in his lineage. Here are the people that are up to the birth of my son, and there are a lot of them are scoundrels, and it was pretty awesome. So we can be scoundrels and still, you know, be in God's family. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and also of David and of Samuel and of the prophets. I skipped the name because I didn't know how to say it. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. I mean, there's story after story after story of people just trusting God in ridiculous situations. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to the zoo and seen the lions. A lot of times they'll laze around, but sometimes they get silly and they'll come and they'll pounce at the glass like, I could, you know, if this glass wasn't here, we could have some fun. So, but Daniel was in the midst of the lion. I mean, that was what they did. You know, it was like there was the fiery furnace and there was the cross and there was lions. That was the way they got rid of people. They'd chuck you in the lion's den. And Daniel believed in God so much that, you know, even if Daniel had been killed, God could have raised him from the dead. You know, whatever. God, you're God, and whatever. If you have a purpose for me, you're going to keep me alive. Who through faith, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword out of the weakness. Weakness was made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured not, accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial or cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. And they were stoned and even sawn asunder and were tempted and were slain with the sword. And they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins and were destitute and afflicted and tormented. These don't sound like good things. Of whom the world was not worthy. And they wandered in the deserts and in the mountains and in the dens and in the caves of the earth. And these all having obtained a good report through faith. And they didn't receive their promise immediately, because what's the promise? That we're going to be with God in heaven. So they were living through all this junk, but they still believed. God having provided some better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So the word is set up so that we have answers to everything. And it's set up so that we can see God's design and to understand his design for us. And we have pleasures evermore, you know, and God wants us to enjoy this earth. But again, this earth is not the real deal. This earth is just kind of a taste. So, I mean, if you love or hate this earth, it's just a taste of what heaven's going to be like, because there's not going to be any death. There's not going to be any sickness. There's not going to be fighting. We just get to spend eternity with God, and yeah, there won't be any sin. God has been blessing me in so many ways this year, and I don't deserve it. But the cool thing about not knowing I deserve it is I know that God's still going to bless me anyway, because that's what a loving father does. The loving father takes that macaroni drawing and he puts it on the refrigerator and he takes you out for ice cream. You know, that's God, even though you probably made the Sunday school teacher mad, or, you know, you didn't wash your hands before eating or whatever, you know. So, faith is believing in God when everything looks the opposite and everything around you screams the opposite and you can't, even your mind says, don't trust God. God is not trustworthy. It's going, okay, God, even though everything around me in my human understanding says don't, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to trust you, and if all hell breaks loose, I don't care. I'm not going to look at my situation. I'm not going to look at what is around me. I'm going to just see what your word says, and I'm going to move forward. A lot of bad things happen. A lot of good things happen to people in the Bible, but they all had faith, and in the end, you know, God's reigning, and we rule with Him in heaven. We'll be sons and daughters of God. This world is, it's not important. It's just here for us to enjoy until we go home with God, you know. So don't put so much stake in this world. You know, God already has laid out everything for you and whatever your needs are. You know, in James and in Matthew it says, you know, the sparrows, God provides for the sparrows. He loves the sparrows. So don't worry about it. If God will provide for an insignificant little bird, why would He not provide for you, who He, from the beginning of time, He said, you know, He made each of us individually. He knew who we were. He knew the hairs on our head. He knew, you know, everything we were going to do. If you have a God that's that big, it should be easy to have faith in Him. The trick is, when things come against you, to continue to just continue to have that faith. So I admonish you today just to trust Him in everything. If He gives you a word, you know, believe Him, because He'll do it. Just be blessed, because God's design for you is to enjoy this world until we get to hang out forever. So, dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day, and I thank You for these folks that are going to go home and enjoy the rest of this day and enjoy Your blessing on each and every one of their lives. I ask that they see just everything that You have lined out for them, and that they're able to be long-suffering or be patient, and just know that Your perfect will is set up before them, and that they don't have anything to worry about, and they can just trust You, even though it's not always easy to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.